it's not exactly where it is supposed to be. It should be a little bit shifted this way.
All ready to go? Okay. Good morning. It's nice to see everybody this morning. I don't know if some of you were at the corn roast yesterday. We had a great turnout. It was a little bit cool and windy, but it was great to see so many people. And it was a super night of hosting our neighbors in the community and the people from our church. And I hope that those of you that were there had a great time. And we want to thank especially the Vandenberg family for organizing it and all the many, many volunteers that helped out yesterday. Thank you so much. We welcome any guests here this morning. Thank you for coming, and I hope you enjoy the service. All right, for our call to worship this morning, I'm going to read from Psalm 105, verses 1 to 6. Give praise to the Lord, proclaim his name, make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him, sing praise to him, tell of all his wonderful acts. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. Remember the wonders he has done, his miracles and the judgments he pronounced. You, his servants, the descendants of Abraham, his chosen ones, the children of Jacob. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, be with us this morning as we open our hearts to hear your word. Give us peace at this time to listen to your voice and understand your word so that we can follow your will. Almighty God, we thank you for every opportunity to know you better and to share your love with others. Forgive us when we slip and thank you for your grace and forgiveness. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I invite the worship team to come forward as we worship in song.
Good morning, everyone. Please stand for your worship and song. All those who are able.
Oh,
song is Faithful One. Please sit down if you wish to. Yeah, I know I blew it. Welcome the choir in worship, followed by the children's story.
The song just had a phrase in it that said, "You are my rock of peace." And another song that affirms that is, "When peace like a river." We're going to invite you to join us on the last verse as the choir sings this. So, "When peace like a river."
Thank you.
I forgot to say, that was an addition for the choir. Thursday night is not in the bulletin. She forgot to put it in. It says 6 o'clock Thursday night. You're all invited to join the choir. You just proved that you could do it.
I'd invite the children to come forward and join me with your children's story. We have a few more joining us. Okay, for my friends that are here, I have a question for you. Have you guys ever broken something, like an item or an object, or maybe someone broke something of yours before? I see some smiles. Yes, Em, what did you break? Maybe Mom can share for us. Many things, okay. Anyone else? Boys, can you think of something that maybe you broke, or you broke something of someone else's, like a toy or a game? Okay, while we think about it, I brought something with me today. This is Lego. Now, this was a really cool Lego creation. But as you can see right now, it's not looking too great. It actually was a really cool speedboat. Now it's just a pile of bricks, though. Now I'm not quite sure what I can do about it. What do you think? How could I fix this? It's kind of broken right now. What can I do to fix it? I could build it. What else? Yeah. You're right. Do you see the instruction manual in here? I brought it with me. I have the instructions ready. And if I followed these instructions and I worked on it for a little while, pretty sure I could put it back together. Now, you know, this is a little bit actually like what Nehemiah faced in the Bible. He had a problem with something that was also broken, but it was a little bit bigger than a game or a toy or a Lego set. It was a whole city that was in ruins. He must have felt so helpless, like there was no way that he could make it right. But the Bible tells us that he didn't give up. He started praying, and then he talked to the king, and he made a plan, and they made it work. So this story reminds us of three really important things to remember. God wants us to pray. He's always listening, and he's ready to help. But he also wants us to figure out a plan, maybe by talking to our parents or to a teacher or a friend. And then we need to work on that problem by putting that plan into action. And that might be hard because sometimes the thing that's broken isn't as easily fixed as a Lego set or a toy or a game. It might be broken feelings or broken friendships, but there's no problem that's too big for God because he's always willing to work with us and stick by us. And I don't know about you, but I think that's pretty awesome. Okay, we're going to pray together. Dear God, thank you for hearing our prayers. Help us to do good things when things go wrong. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, thanks, guys.
Okay, I'm going to try this again. It's nice of Oscar to make a run for the back with me at the front. You can see my great parenting skills. Oop, there we go. At play. Well, now we're going to have our time of prayer. And we're giving an opportunity here for people to share. So if you have any prayer requests or things you would like to share, just raise your hand. And I still haven't planned to have a microphone find you, but we'll figure that out really quickly. I didn't plant someone to share this week, so maybe that's also my mistake. Well, as always, if you have prayer requests or things you'd like to share, but you don't want to share in front of everybody, you can send those in by email or give me a call through the week. We're happy to pray for you. Well, let's pray together. Father, we thank you that you are good in spirit. We thank you that you are in this place, that you are in this people, and that wherever we go, there you are with us. Continue to guide our hearts and our hands to serve you, to serve others in your name, to bring about your peace, your new hope, your love in those places where there are broken hearts, where there is need. Lord, we pray that you would continue to hear the hearts of your servants as we pray to you, that you would hear our prayers, that you would see our needs. And Lord, we pray that you would open our eyes too, to see how you are answering our prayers, to see how you are moving all around us so that we can go and participate in what you are doing right here in St. Catharines, right here in our world. Lord, we think of all of those people who are hurting, who are mourning, who are hungry, who are suffering the ill effects of warfare, the ill effects of poor government systems, the ill effects of mean neighbors, the ill effects of addiction. Lord, in all these things, have mercy. And as we continue to give you ourselves and we give you our money, we recognize that everything we have is yours. Please continue to take what we offer here as your community to bring about your kingdom in real ways here in St. Catharines and in our community. Friends, I invite you to pray the prayer Jesus taught us to pray, as on the screen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
I'm going to be reading from Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 1 to 8. In the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was brought for him, I took the wine and gave it to the king. I had not been sad in his presence before, so the king asked me, "Why does your face look so sad when you are not ill? This can be nothing but sadness of heart." I was very much afraid, but I said to the king, "May the king live forever. Why should my face not look sad when the city where my ancestors are buried lies in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire?" The king said to me, "What is it you want?" Then I prayed to the God of heaven and I answered the king, "If it pleases the king and if your servant has found favor in his sight, let him send me to the city in Judah where my ancestors are buried so that I can rebuild it." Then the king, with the queen sitting beside him, asked me, "How long will your journey take, and when will you get back?" It pleased the king to send me, so I set a time. I also said to him, If it pleases the king, may I have letters to the governors of Trans-Euphrates, so that they will provide me safe conduct until I arrive in Judah? And may I have a letter to Asaph, keeper of the royal park, so he will give me timber to make beams for the gates of the citadel by the temple, and for the city wall, and for the residence I will occupy. And because the gracious hand of my God was on me, the king granted my requests.
I could not find any songs in the hymn book that were based on the book of Nehemiah, but there's one song that has a lot of images about that city of God, Zion. Again, we're going to ask you to join us on the last verse, Glorious Things of the Year Spoken.
Well, thank you to Ian and Danny for staying with me at the front while I was abandoned. I appreciate their kindness, making sure I was okay. We're going to continue talking about the book of Nehemiah today as we talk about praying, planning, and acting. So a little bit of Bible background, just so that we're all caught up and know where we're sitting. We've seen through the biblical story that we have God's chosen people, the descendants of Abraham, and at a certain time, they have now been delivered out of slavery, so things have gone poorly in Egypt, they've been delivered out. They're supposed to be this new type of nation, a light to other nations, showing what it's like to follow God, showing what it's like to be as God intends us to be. But this community continues to be unfaithful, turning to other gods, turning to other ways, ignoring what they were supposed to be doing. And we see them taken off into exile into a place called Babylon. But all through this time, while they are exiles in Babylon, we see a hope that they will be able to return to this home. For some of them, a home that they've never known. And they'll be able to be a light to the nations again, drawing people towards God. As time goes on, the Persian Empire overcomes the Babylonian Empire, and that brings us to the book of Ezra Nehemiah. Now, in our Bibles, this will almost always be shown as two books, but it is one story. It is meant to be connected together. There's a rhythm that goes on, and we're actually starting halfway through. So this is as if you are starting on the last Star Wars movie. Congratulations. You'll be confused. We will have Ewoks. We'll have some fun, but we are missing parts of that story, and I encourage you to go back and read Ezra ahead of time. And as we go into Nehemiah, there's this rhythm of hoping to go back, hoping to rebuild, things going well, and then things falling apart. So Ezra, tagging off here into Nehemiah, will see us into the year about 445 BCE. And that's right where Nehemiah begins. And we learned a little bit about Nehemiah last week. We looked into the first chapter, and we got to see who Nehemiah was, that we're being told that these are the words of Nehemiah that we're reading. We get to see that he has learned that as people went back to Jerusalem, a place he's never been, he had been hoping that Jerusalem, this area, this home he's never known, was going well. He was hoping things could have been rebuilt. And there had been plans to rebuild, but things have kind of gone poorly. Things have been destroyed, and this breaks his heart. He has a heart to see his people back as they're meant to be, back to be that light to the nations. And so he's praying and he's fasting, and his prayer ends with this realization of something, that hear our hearts, hear our prayers, and give success today to your servant. Grant me hope. Grant me this favor in the sight of this man. And that's right when Nehemiah tells us who he is. At that time, I was cupbearer to the king. I was kind of a big deal. I was a big player in the Persian Empire. And that's where we pick up Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. So it starts saying, in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes. So chapter 1 also gave us a month, so we kind of have a sense of what's going on here. What this tells us is that Nehemiah has been praying and fasting and going over things for four whole months. This isn't just a quick turnaround. It says, when wine was being brought to him, I took the wine and I gave it to the king. I had not been sad in his presence before. You're supposed to be happy to be in the presence of the king. So the king asked me, why does your face look so sad? Why? You're not ill. This can be nothing but sadness of the heart. And I was very much afraid. So again, language gets mixed up a bit, and we miss that there's a play on words here. Sadness of the heart, we have the King Artaxerxes noticing that he's sad, and there's some compassion there, but there's some suspicion as well. Sadness of the heart could also be translated to a trouble or even an evil of the heart. He's noticing you're sad for a reason. What's going on? You know you're not supposed to show that. You're showing it. Sadness of the heart, maybe there's some trouble brewing. And so he starts to the king in the way you always address a king. May the king live forever. Why should my face not look sad when the city where my ancestors are buried lies in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire? The king said to me, what is it you want? Opportunity. And so what does Nehemiah do? He starts with prayer. So I prayed to the God of heaven, and I answered the king. If it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in his sight, let him send me to the city in Judah where my ancestors are buried so that I can rebuild it. Do you notice what he's not saying? He's saying, send me to Jerusalem without saying the word Jerusalem. And that's a bit strange, but if you were to go back and read Ezra, as we will all do this week, I'm sure, doing your homework, in chapter 4, we see King Artaxerxes make it so that the Israelites cannot rebuild Jerusalem. He is noted from some advisors that the people there have sometimes been trouble for previous kings. They tend to rebel. So we're going to go and make sure they're not allowed to build anything. So the reason that the news comes back that Jerusalem hasn't been rebuilt is because King Artaxerxes had made sure that that's not rebuilt. So Nehemiah is asking the king to reverse his policy here, and he's doing it in kind of this gentle way, a way that the king would relate to, the city of my forefathers, of my family. That place in Judah, let's not say the name. And the king responds favorably. Well, how long will you be gone from me? How long will your journey take? When are you going to come back? And so they work that through. And I love this next part from Nehemiah, because Nehemiah is ready with the next task. The king has already said, okay, how long is it going to take? And so I said to him, well, if it pleases the king, may I? And there's this incredibly long list of things. The equivalent of what Nehemiah is asking is if you went to your boss and you said, I need an indefinite amount of time off. I need to do a personal project. I need the company credit card to pay for that personal project. And also, could you get me some supplies and other stuff? And one last thing, I'll need a home while I'm there. So if you could build that too, to make sure that everything's okay. And that will kind of make me the governor of the area, and you're going to send letters and make sure everything's okay, right? And because the gracious hand of God was on me, the king granted my requests. And what we'll see next week is not only does the king grant his requests, the king has noted that Nehemiah forgot to ask for any armed support, and so the king will send that as well. The king goes above and beyond this incredibly audacious ask of Nehemiah. We see Nehemiah has been incredibly purposeful. None of this is happening by accident. None of this is happening on a whim. He has spent the time in prayer. He has been praying, and praying to a point where he starts to recognize that I have been part of the problem, but also, God, I can be part of the solution. Use me. And what will that solution look like? Well, Nehemiah, in his time of prayer, has also been planning. He's been dreaming. What would the ideal solution look like if I'm involved? What are all the things that I'll need? Because if he's ready with it, maybe the king keeps saying yes. It says that the king was in the presence of the queen. Maybe that's hinting a little bit that she's kind of likes Nehemiah, so she's going to nudge him a little bit and be like, come on, just give him what he wants. He's going to come back to us. This is our guy. This is our guy. So Nehemiah has a plan for when the opportunity arises. And when that opportunity arises, though he is fearful, and rightly so, I mean, there are two out... Basically, there's two outcomes of this. Maybe there's a third where he's just told no and he's kind of like demoted and don't ever say that again. But there's also the, like, who do you think you are? I'm going to throw you in jail if you're lucky, but maybe your life is on the line for daring to demand these things of the king, for daring even to be sad and this trouble of your heart, this evil of your heart that you think you can manipulate me. But Nehemiah acts. He goes, he jumps, he takes the chance, knowing that there's risk, a risk that he's seen other people take, and he knows that sometimes that goes negatively. And what does he do right away in his action? Well, prayer has become second nature to Nehemiah. Maybe it already was before, but over these 4 months as he's been praying, he knows now is my time. I'm going to prayerfully, quickly say a prayer, God help me, be with me in this, and then I'm going to go and I'm going to jump and go for it. See, the trouble for us with this passage, with passages like this, is when it comes to prayer, we'll pray about something, and we're comfortable doing that. But Nehemiah does this for 4 months. Like, how many prayers is it going to take? How is this? We use prayer sometimes as this means of just getting something, as opposed to this thing that changes us over time. And not only that, we kind of have this shallow approach to prayer. But when I say we, I mean the Christian world in general. And especially the Christian world that ends up on media. Thoughts and prayers. Thoughts and prayers are a quick solution to things. The reason we're comfortable with thoughts and prayers is because it costs us nothing. We'll pray about it, we'll give thoughts to it, but we're not actually going to go and do anything about the problem. Well, we prayed, my conscience is absolved. And then it comes to planning. And planning can be hard. Now, I know many Mennonites, and maybe this church is different, but in my experience, do you know what Mennonites love? Committees. We could make a committee to make that committee. Like, we love planning. We love, and churches are like this. People are like this. We love planning and talking about things and dreaming and getting all of these things. But we can get so stuck in the planning that we never get to the doing. It's one thing to plan. It's an entirely different thing to take that jump. Because when we're supposed to act, even if we've planned, suddenly it can seem, as it shows in the image here, you know, that's a lot deeper than I thought it was. That's a bigger jump than I thought it was. At a distance, I was sure ready to do it. But now that I'm there, I don't know. That sounds risky. Because acting on our prayed out plans will always be risky. It might not go as we want. There's this great story about a fluid, which some of you know as magical WD-40. And it's water displacement 40. And the reason it's called WD-40 is because the first 39 attempts at it didn't work as they wanted it to. And now it's commemorated forever as the 40th attempt. This is the one that worked. If they had just done one or two more, that fluid might have cured everything in our world. We sometimes see the risk as it either is going to work or it doesn't work, and that's the end of it, as opposed to taking these risks and knowing that there is a process of resetting in prayer, planning, acting as a part of our lives. So let me tell you a story. There once was a man, and he was at his house, and he heard that there was a flood coming, and he knew there was a flood coming. So he got down on his knees, and he said, "God, please protect me from this flood. My trust is in you. All my neighbors know that I follow you, and I'm going to go and follow you to the end. So protect me and my house from this flood." And as the floodwaters start to rise, someone's banging on his door suddenly. And it's the National Guard. "We're here to let you know, sir, you can't wait any longer. The floodwaters are rising. Now is the time to come with us so that you'll be safe." And he goes to the door and he says, "No, my friends, I am a man of God. I am a man of prayer. I have prayed and I trust and I will wait." And the water starts to rise, and suddenly he has to go to the second story of his house. He's done well enough that he has a second story, and someone comes up to his window and starts banging on his window. Said, we see there's someone still in this house. We have a boat. We are here to help take you in our boat to safety. Will you come with us?" And he goes, he says, "You know, my friends, ye of little faith, I am a man of faith. I have prayed that God will protect me, and I trust that. So I will not go with you in the boat." The waters continue to rise. Suddenly, he's up on the roof, and a helicopter comes. Wop, 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 wop. I have a lot of practice making sounds as a parent. Wop, 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 wop. That's just my mouth. That's not a real helicopter. Don't be startled. Wop, 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 wop. So the helicopter comes and they drop someone down on a rope. They say, "Please take my hand. The waters are going too high. Your house is going to be overflowed. Now's your last chance. Come with us. We're here to save you." And the man says, "My friend, I'm a man of God. I trust God. I have prayed, and my prayers are enough for me, and so I will be fine." So the helicopter leaves. The waters rise. The man drowns. Approaching heaven's gates, he sees God there. He says, "God, you let me down. Wasn't I faithfully in prayer? I prayed that you would protect me. Where were you when I was drowning?" And do you know what God says? "I sent you the army. I sent you a boat. I sent you a helicopter. What more do you want?" This is sometimes how we approach things with prayer. Prayer is a great starting point, but prayer is something that leads us to action. And that's where we see our hope, is that prayer is something that can change us, and prayer is something that was important to Jesus. Jesus is the one who shows us the way. We learn from the Bible because it points us to Jesus. We don't follow the Bible. We don't follow Nehemiah. We follow the one who fulfills all of the dreams Nehemiah had. That's the one in Jesus who shows us the way. Jesus was and is a man of prayer. And if Jesus, who is the one who has the same heart as God the Father, is spending time in prayer, how much more then would we be in need of that? Jesus spends time in prayer. Jesus is a man who has a plan as well. Jesus doesn't just show up somewhere and not know what to do. He has these great vision of the kingdom of God and what that could be like, and I'm going to go preach that everywhere and encourage people to capture the imagination of this new way of being, this upside-down kingdom, this your kingdom come, your will be done here in Palestine, here in this world. And Jesus is a man of action. When confronted with difficult circumstances and people who need mercy and grace and hope and justice, Jesus steps in. He has prayed, he has a plan for what the world should look like, and he will act on it when opportunity presents itself. Jesus is also someone who knows that there is a cost to doing these things. Jesus doesn't go into things thinking everything's going to be okay always. But Jesus loves anyway. Jesus knows there's a cost, but knows that loving anyway, loving and bringing about this new way of life for all these people, even the people killing him, even his enemies, that is worth it. A price he paid willingly and gladly. So what does this mean for us today? Well, I think we see this model of prayer, of planning, and of action. Not that we can go and take faith down to three simple steps, because this is a continuum of repetition and everything flows into each other. But this, to me, is what a living faith looks like. The Bible will go and say that faith without works is dead. And I'll let you know that prayer that doesn't lead you into action is a dead prayer. And that comes from a dead faith. Prayer leads us to act on it. It's God, be with that person who is mourning and in trouble there, but also I'm going to go there and give them opportunity to have someone who will sit with them and I'll bring some food over. God, help that person who is currently unhoused and needs it, but I'm also going to go and work with the local area and I'm going to work with what I have to make sure that they have somewhere to be and somewhere to stay. Prayer moves us into action and acting in and alongside what Jesus is doing in our world. Prayer is a starting point for us. It is the starting point for our faith, this opportunity for us to express ourselves, our needs, our hopes, our dreams, our pains to God, while also learning to listen to how the Spirit responds. Mother Teresa, late in her life, was asked what her prayer life was like. What do you pray when you pray? And she said, nothing. I just kneel and sit in the presence of God. There's nothing left to say. Prayer will lead us to wise plans, to make good decisions as a community that follows Jesus, as a church to make wise plans, but also in our individual lives and as families and as parts of our different workplaces and everything. We can plan wisely. Prayer doesn't mean that we shouldn't make plans. Prayer moves in our plans and then moves in our hearts so that we can act boldly. Nehemiah acted incredibly boldly, putting his life on the line, and he didn't leave out anything, he thought at least, in what he asked for. He asks for everything, and not only does he get everything from the king, but the king, as I said, will actually give him a little bit more. The king and the queen will think, like, what a great list. Sure, we'll do all of that, but also, you might have missed this thing. I'm going to make sure that it's successful by sending these people with you too. Prayer and plan leads us into action, and action, taking that jump, is the hardest step in faith. Ideas are fun when they're ideas. When it's us actually doing them, that becomes something else. But it's that cycle, prayer, of planning wisely, of considering things, letting our prayers change our plans and our actions, and continuing to pray, that brings us to a place where we start to look a bit more like how Jesus lived. We start to reflect the love of Jesus. It is through our prayers, our plans, and our actions that we are then able, imperfectly, to love like Jesus. We're able to imperfectly, as a community, as different body parts, as different people with different aspects and different interests and different skills, we are able somehow to show people the love of Jesus together. That is what Nehemiah looks to do. I will pray, I will plan, I will act. There's consequences to it, but I trust that as I do these things, that God will make a way. Or, if a way is not made through this, that I will see a new way, even if it takes 40 tries, and we'll keep on following until we end up where we're supposed to go. Friends, there are people that you will meet this week where you are the only person that they'll meet with the love of Jesus in your heart. Who has been put on your heart? What causes, what things have been put on your heart? Let's pray those things out. Let's make some plans and let's act on those prayers. We won't always act perfectly, but that's okay. We'll pray about it afterwards and we'll figure it out along the way. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are good. We thank you, Lord, that you listen to our prayers, that you already know what's going on in our hearts. Lord, our hearts have desires. And as we pray that you give us the desires of our hearts, we recognize that that might mean you change our hearts' desires. May we desire what you desire. May we love as you'd have us love. Remind us, Lord, to pray, and may our prayers lead us into loving actions. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Stand for the closing song. We will sing the song Forever, verses 1 and 2, followed by the benediction, and then followed by verse 3.
Receive the blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May God continue to speak to your heart, and may your feet follow wherever that voice takes you. Go in God's peace. Amen.
Thank you.